The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's our series on worship. One final look at this series next on Times of Refreshing. From the Well, a Christian community here in Livermore, California. Hi there, and welcome to today's broadcast of Times of Refreshing. We invite you to join us today here in Daniel chapter 6. It is our final look at our series on worship. Pastor Napoleon has us in Daniel 6 looking at this familiar passage of Scripture as we understand power and worship. Take a few minutes, join us, and be encouraged as we close out our look at worship. Again, Daniel chapter 6. Here's Napoleon Kaufman now with today's edition of Times of Refreshing.
If we just keep going on without going before God and say, God, please forgive me. I'm messed up. I need help. Somebody that comes before God like this is the one who God activates. And he begins to transform and to change. But if we think we're doing God a favor because we're coming to church and putting money in the bucket, but yet we can still live like the devil and God's supposed to protect us, understand this man of God said, I'm innocent before you, because he was accustomed to go before God. He was a worshiper. He understood the value of this. And this is how we should live. I might fall, but I want to be a professional repenter. A lot of times people want to be a professional this. I want to be a professional repenter. When I mess up, God convict me, and then I'm going to make it right. Because I only want one spanking. I don't want two. Can I have an amen, y'all? Can I have an amen, y'all? Well, this is how we live, and then we keep the flow going, and our innocence remains before the throne, and then his power begins to kick in our lives. But not only was he innocent in heaven's courts, but watch this, y'all. He says this in verse 22. He says, because I was found innocent before him, his God, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now, I love this because ultimately, for this king, he knew that Daniel was a just man. He understood this. Now, there's going to be unreasonable people, and in some cases, people that are, you know, demonized or whatever you have to deal with, they're always going to accuse you. But people that are just and right, who understand the value of who you really are, we want to make sure that with those individuals, that we're also willing to make that right if we need to make that right. I'm playing ball, and I've shared this story before, but I'm playing ball, and I'm in the room, and we're in the running back's room, and we're looking at the play. And this was while I was playing for the Raiders. We're looking at the play, and I could see on the play that I messed up. I messed up on the play. And I'm like, man, messed up. And then he says, Napoleon, man, you were supposed to go this way. Why did you go that way? And then all of a sudden, it's like I was having an out-of-body experience. I started saying that, well, it was because, you know, Robert Jenkins didn't do what he was supposed to do. Then Kenyon Branscombe, he should have made with this way. You know, Steve Wisniewski, he should have did. I started making all these excuses. And I'm sitting there listening to myself, and I'm saying, shut up. So he just says, come on, man. You got to take it, man. And then he just got on me, yelled at me, and then we moved on. But I go back to my house, and I share this story all the time. Most of you know it. I go back to my prayer room when I got off work, and I go in the prayer room, and I said, Lord, I said, Lord, you need to fire Skip Pete. This was the running backs coach. I said, you need to fire him. He ain't right. He picking on me. He always calling me out. You know, he's doing that. I'm saying all this other stuff. I couldn't play the race car because he was black. And so I said, oh, man. I know. So I said all kinds of stuff. And I'm saying, Lord, you know, Lord, get him. And I'm in my prayer closet. And I'm having this intimate moment with the Lord. And I'm telling on Skip Pete. And God said, you're prideful. Just like that. It was powerful. Changed my life. I could tell you I was in Alameda, Harbor Bay Parkway. I could tell you the exact house and the room. I could show you the room and the closet where I was in. And God told me, you're prideful. And man, I got so convicted. I repented, man. I cried out to God and asked God to deliver me from that spirit of Leviathan, the king of pride. And I just wept there, and I felt this presence just lift off of me, and God just delivered me in that room, in that closet. I got up the next morning. Man, this brings me to tears. I got up that next morning, and I went to Skip Pete. I said, I need to talk with you. I said, I want to ask you to forgive me for what I've been doing around here. And he looked shocked. He was like, what do you mean? I said, when you're teaching in the class, you're right. I was wrong. And I need to stop doing that. I need to receive the correction that you're giving me. And God, and I told him, and he's not even a believer. I told him, I said, and God told me last night that I was being prideful. So I want to come and ask you to forgive me. I want to ask you to forgive me. And he looked at me like he had saw an alien. He said, really? Because he didn't think it was a big deal, you know. But I said, no, this is God's trying to do something in my life. I need to take instruction. I got to hear and then do it, you know. So I'm committing to you that you will never hear me say anything back to you when you correct me and you try to instruct me in these meeting rooms. You're not going to hear nothing. And he never heard anything because I repented. But I had to, I didn't want to just be right in the sight of God. Well, I'm just going, God knows my heart. No, God knew my heart. It was desperately wicked and it needed to change with my tongue talking self. Listen, I'm going to tell on myself because I'm free. And so years later, the Dallas Cowboys, because he was coaching the Dallas Cowboys, and you know, this is years later. I'm the team chaplain for the Raiders now. He's working for the Dallas Cowboys. And one of the Dallas Cowboy players comes to me before the game. He said, you know Napoleon Kaufman? I said, yeah. He said, hey, man, Skip Pete loves you, man. I said, really? He said, yeah. Man, he told us how you came to him and asked him to forgive you and all this other stuff. It was powerful, man. He loves you, brother. I was like, that brother done put me on blast out here. But in a good way. He said, man, he brags about you, about your relationship with God and how you da 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 da. And so what I'm saying to all of us here is I stop and just pause here for a second. Saints, understand that Daniel was a worshiper and his worship and his allegiance was to God. But he also wanted to make sure that in the sight of man that he was handling his business right. And that's how he lived. And as a result of it, God responds to him and causes him to go off and obviously do great things. And we see the glory of God. So we see God sent his protection. He sent his angel. He was innocent in the heavens court, but he's also innocent before Darius. And Darius understood this. When we start living our lives like this as a worshiper, and we maintain that level of conviction and commitment, what does God do? He starts fighting for you. He starts promoting you. He starts shutting people's mouths. He starts moving. He starts breaking off connections that need to be broken off in your life. And he starts setting things in motion. And then he starts setting you on a path. And then everybody's looking like, how could this happen to you? And you know why it's really happening. But they don't understand is because at the end of the day, you're a worshiper. And because you're a worshiper of God, there's power that's being released, and you don't have to toot your own horn. The power of God just keeps coming through for you and coming through. And then God just starts favoring you over here and favoring you over there. And people wonder, how in the world does this brother or this sister keep going up? Because God is pulling him up, and you can't stop God from pulling them up. Can I have an amen, y'all? Worshipers receive this benefit. They receive the benefit of God shutting the lion's mouth. They receive the angelic assistance, and they receive innocence in the courts of heaven and in the courts of man. God starts putting it on people's heart to bless you when it seems like other people say you shouldn't be blessed. Those individuals who conspired against Daniel, ultimately, they went into the pit. They went to the pit. David gets delivered. I don't know who needs to hear this morning. But you worship God and you watch God fight your battle. Let them talk and you watch God fight your battle. They end up going into the pit and Daniel ends up getting elevated. But Daniel, he was a worshiper. And when he was tested, he didn't shut the window. When he was tested, he opened the window. And three times a day, he continued with his custom. Why? Because his allegiance was to God. His allegiance was to God. Can I have an amen? Go to Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to show you a picture of this in the New Testament. We're going to read these verses. And I'm just going to flow with this because most of you are familiar with this, but we're going to see here a picture of worshipers in trouble, but yet once again, because of who they are and their character, God releasing them. Look at verse 16. Now, it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination. She met us who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit, we talked about that last week, y'all, was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them into to the magistrate and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid hands and stripes on them, when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So once again, we see individuals who are worshiping or worshipers of God. They're being attacked, falsely accused by individuals that do not want to see them progress, and they want to stop them. Understand that this is part of life. It happens. It's going to happen. Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had left, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'm going to stop right here. You know, it is, once again, we see God, because innocent people in the courts of God are in a situation that they should not technically be in. But yet and still, when they're in this situation, what is Paul and Silas's perspective? "God, where are you at? Why you let this happen? This isn't right. This isn't fair. I thought you were, aren't you God? How could you let this happen?" With these individuals, you see very clearly, because they are worshipers, it doesn't come out of their spirit. Amen. What comes out of their spirit when the pressure is on them is psalms and hymns. They begin to sing to the Lord. They begin to worship God. They begin to call out God, because that's what's in them. They don't start cussing. They don't start lying. They don't start denying the Lord and saying, "Oh man, we got to stop serving this God. Look, our life is too hard because of, it ain't working out." They start just going in to worship because they're worshipers. And it is their lifestyle. They are committed to Christ because Christ is committed to them. And when the pressure is on, they do not shrink back from the pressure. They're diving into it. And ultimately, we see in this moment, God, what does he do? He releases his angel once again. And the power of God is released once again. And the power of God is displayed once again. We saw it thousands of years earlier. Now here we are again. We see God moving again. He's moving again. And you see it throughout all the Bible. God does it. When he finds true worshipers, he defends true worshipers. When he finds true worshipers, he fights for true worshipers. When he finds true worshipers, the power of God is released for true worshipers. It doesn't matter if it's a Goliath. It doesn't matter if it's a lion's den. It doesn't matter if you're in prison. It doesn't matter if you're fighting against the Jebusites and the Marianites and all the other ites. It doesn't matter who you're fighting. That God, he has the power to defend his people if they are willing to be worshipers. And for all of us, we have to stop and just ask ourselves, do I have these character qualities that would cause God to say, "I'm going to stand up and fight for you. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for you." And in this particular moment, we see very clearly that they begin to sing. They begin to pray and sing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. We go down, it says here in verse 31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your what y'all house.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household." Worship isn't just for the mountaintop. Worship is for the valley. It's for the valley. When he's in prison, they're in prison. Paul and Silas are in prison. And all of a sudden, they just start blessing the Lord. They just start calling on his name. They just start worshiping him. Because they're worshipers, it just starts coming out of their spirit. And they don't have a pity party. Because I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I read in the Bible, God doesn't like go to a lot of pity parties. But he will show up to a praise party. Can I have an amen? He will show up to a praise party. And so when they start praising God, and then God starts activating. God, he'll start activating. And for us, we have to see that that's an element and aspect of his power. His power. Are you a worshiper? Am I really a worshiper? Do I really worship God? Or is it a convenience thing? Do we really worship God? Is that when your back is against the wall, you're not going to turn on God because your allegiance is to God? When the devil starts offering you all the kingdoms in this world and all these other things, will you fall down and worship him for some change? Or will you stick to worshiping him? What happens for all of us is we have to see that God is trying to return his church back to authentic worship and help us to see that this is not just singing a song on Sunday morning. It's a lifestyle that we live in front of the whole world. And it is a commitment to Christ no matter how bad our situation gets or how blessed our situation gets. We still maintain the posture that I am going to worship God and I am a worshiper of God. And my allegiance is to him. And when it comes to defending myself, it's not much I have to do because God starts getting involved and he will handle it. I don't have to try to defend myself. And so when people would tell me all the time, Napoleon, you're too radical. You need to shut up. Why are you talking about Jesus so much around here? In my mind, I'm saying, well, who else am I supposed to talk about? Who else went to the cross? Who else died for my sins? Who else got up out of the grave? Who else is sitting on the right hand of the Father? Who else is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Who else shed their blood for me and washed me and forgave me of my sins and rose again on the third day? Who else? Name somebody that walked on water and that healed the sick and raised the dead and that brought forth redemption and is my kinsman redeemer. Name somebody else that is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Name them. I'm waiting for you. You can't name them. So I'm going to worship Jesus. My allegiance is to Jesus. My commitment is to Jesus. I'm going to worship Jesus. I'm going to honor Jesus. And you can tell me to stop, but I'm not going to stop. You can tell me to quit, but I ain't going to quit. You can tell me to shut my window. I ain't going to shut my window. You can tell me to worship the King. I ain't going to worship King. You can tell me to worship Trump. I ain't going to worship Trump. You can tell me to worship Obama. I ain't going to worship Obama. You can tell me to worship this person and that person and a black one or a white one or Chinese one, I'm going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because he's the one that I have my allegiance to. Can I have an amen in this room? Can I have an amen in this room? Well, we have to start being more aggressive in our commitment. I worship God. And he is the one that releases his power in my life. And if he's got to break me out of prison, he knows how to break me out of prison. If he's got to get me away from some lions, he knows how to get me away from some lions. If he needs to give me the skill so I can knock a Goliath upside the head, then I can knock a Goliath upside of the head. If I got to take on the Egyptians, I can take on the Egyptian Moses. If I got to take on this nation and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites, then I can take on all of them because the God that I serve, I worship him and him alone. That becomes your lifestyle. And so saints, it's time for us to stop playing church and get back to true worship. And when people think about you, they say that woman of God is a worshiper. That man of God is a worshiper. Why do you say he's a worshiper? Is it just because he can sing? No, it's his lifestyle. His lifestyle. He can sing, but he's got a lifestyle. She can sing, but she's got a lifestyle. They really, really love Jesus.
Well, thank you for joining us for Times of Refreshing with our teacher and pastor, Napoleon Kaufman. This program is the production of the Well Christian Community. And we pray today's broadcast has blessed you and has encouraged you in Christ. If it has, would you take a moment and let us know? There are several ways that you can contact us. First, by mail. The Well Christian Community. Address your envelope to 2333 Neeson Drive. That's here in Livermore. The zip code is 94551. You can also stop by our website, learn more about us, and drop us an email, thewellchurch.net. That's thewellchurch.net. And then, of course, by phone, 925-292-7800. That's 925-292-7800. As you visit our website, don't forget to look for the link to our Facebook page. And if you're on Facebook, simply search The Well Christian Community. You can even follow Pastor Napoleon on Twitter with the address @NapoleonKaufman, all one word. Until next time, may Jesus Christ be highly exalted in your life, and may He bring you a peace that passes all understanding.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.